a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates The Gilded Lily.
It's an accepted rule of society that you never ask a woman her age. And this is a very ironic thing, since dolls never look their ages anyway. When they're kids in their teens, they make up to look like they're in their 20s. In their 20s, they make up to look like they're dolls in their teens. And when they're 40, they beat their brains out figuring how to look like they're 25. So if you happen to know their ages, what difference does it make? I'm asking this question not because I think you can answer it any more than I can, but just to make my point that it's a wacky world we live in. The way my secretary Julie puts it, the world was okay till I came along, and who wants to know a woman's age anyway? Well, the answer to that is nobody, except another woman. All of which brings me to the case of a certain French doll by the name of Suzanne Perrault, and two other characters with the unlikely titles of Johnny Swift and Gloria Gay.
Johnny.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we get married?
Why don't we take a trip around the world?
No, I mean, why not?
You don't get the message, darling. Money, that's why.
We don't need money to get married.
That's the whole trouble with the world today. It costs nothing to get married. It's a trap. It should cost a fortune. And people wouldn't go rushing into something they can't afford.
You're not making sense.
I am making sense. It's just it. Now look, darling. The way things are, any couple of fools can rush off and get married. What happens after? They both starve very unhappily.
People are getting married every day, darling. Everybody isn't starving.
Yes, but how many of them wish they'd waited till they had some good, solid cash behind them before launching themselves on the stormy sea of matrimony?
What a pessimist you are.
Well, there's nothing wrong with me that a few thousand quid wouldn't fix. If I only had an angle right now. I've never been so short of a good angle in my life.
I should think so. You're going straight now, remember?
I was thinking about that fashion show you've been booked for. There was a part in the paper about the fabulous jewelry you girls are going to wear.
Johnny.
One of the necklaces is the Morton Diamonds. Do you know what that's worth, darling?
Johnny, will you stop talking like that? You promised...
7,000 quid. That's how much. Do you realize what we could do with that kind of money? We could not only get married, we could live on the fat of the land for ages.
Stop it, I say. I won't listen to
you. Gloria, darling... It'd be as easy as falling off a log.
No.
At a rough guess, I'd say Johnny Swift was one of those guys who were firmly of the opinion that when a doll says no, she means yes. Which, under slightly different circumstances, might be true. My own interest in the fashion show, in which Gloria had been engaged as a model, came about as the result of a visit from Suzanne Perrault, who was French. And made you want to rush out and buy shares in that tunnel they're thinking of building under the English Channel.
So, you are the adorable Peter Troy, no?
No. I mean, sure, I'm Peter Troy, ma'am. Oh, and this is my secretary, Julie Summers.
You have a headache, mon cher?
A headache? No, why?
You are frowning, so I thought it must be a headache. You will shake my hand, Peter Troy. That is the English way, no? You do not like kissing the ladies' hands in this country.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's rather a nice idea, really.
So?
Yeah, sure. After all, you have to start somewhere.
Mr. Troy, do you have a headache?
What's that, Julie? No, I don't have a headache.
I think you will before very long.
What? Oh, well, Miss Perrault, won't you sit down?
Oh, but yes, I will. Now, I will give you the business.
Well, yeah, that'd... what?
If there's one thing I admire, it's frankness.
What is going on?
Mr. Troy already has a business, Miss Perrault. But the number of people who still try to give him another one... You'd be surprised.
I do not understand. I wish to talk about my girls.
Your girls? Well, you go right ahead, Miss Perrault. I'm all ears.
You can't help the way you look, Mr. Troy.
Oh, Julie, please. And now, Miss Perrault, Your girls, you said?
It is my fashion show. For this, I come all the way from Paris. 10 beautiful girls I have engaged.
Oh, I always said I should have been in the rag trade.
The day after tomorrow, we have the big showing of the gowns from the Paris house of La Porte. And for this, the girls will wear the most beautiful jewelry.
10 gilded lilies. Man, oh man.
Just how many orbits do you intend to make before you come back to Earth?
Oh, quiet, Julie. I'm concentrating. Go on, Miss Perot.
Well, this jewelry is very valuable. I fear someone may try to steal some of it.
Oh, well, that figures. But you've asked for police protection, of course.
Police? Oh, no, no, I could not bear it.
What?
Oh, to have those great big clumsy policemen standing about in the beautiful salon, it would ruin everything. They would be like goats in the glass factory.
Goats in the glass factory?
Bulls in a china shop, Mr. Troy. What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I must tell Inspector Caswell about that one. He'll love it.
Peter Troy, you must guard the jewels for me. That is what I want you to do.
You don't think that I look like a bull in a china shop?
Oh, no. Oh, you are so handsome. You are a man with so much of the savoir-faire.
I am? Well, I'm sure it's very flattering of you to say so, Miss Perot. Ooh, coming from a beautiful woman such as yourself.
Mr. Troy.
What I mean is, in England, we don't usually discuss things like that in front of a third party.
Mr. Troy, savoir-faire means know-how, knowing what to do at the right time.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought she meant...
I know what you thought she meant, Mr. Troy.
You will come to my fashion show, Peter Troy. You will keep your eyes on my girls for me.
Miss Perot, I wouldn't miss your fashion show for the world. Crowd, huh, Julie? Suzanne Perot knows how to get the people here.
What I'm wondering is why she wanted to get you here.
Oh, Julie, you heard her. She wants me to see that none of the jewelry is stolen.
Yes. And how would you go about that? With a crowd as big as this, a dozen detectives couldn't watch everybody.
Ah, but she told me to keep my eyes on her girls, remember?
I remember. I'm still saving that headache for you.
I was just kidding, honey. And kidding aside, you may have a point.
What do you mean?
Well, if somebody in this crowd really wanted to steal any of the jewelry the girls are going to wear, I don't see how I could stop them on my own.
What's going on, then?
I don't know. Suzanne's paid my retainer, so all I can do is my best. Hey, Julie, that guy over there.
What? Oh, the tall young man?
Yeah. I know his face. Let's see now.
You mean you know him as a friend?
No. I swear I've seen it in the police mug files at some time. Wait a bit. Yep, I've got it. Swift, that's it. Johnny.
Johnny Swift.
Yeah, Johnny Swift. And guess what he was last sent up for?
You mean he's a jewel thief?
I don't mean nothing, but... Come on, let's go over and scare the pants off him. Hi, Johnny.
What's that? Hello.
You don't know me?
No, should I?
Troy, Peter Troy.
Private Eye. I've heard of you.
Nothing good, I hope.
What do you want with me, Troy?
That depends on what you're doing here. I mean, after goofing on that Falworth job you pulled and getting 3 years.
I've gone straight, Troy. Hadn't you heard? Should have sent you a note.
That might have been a good idea. Because from where I stand, you are number one for the shackles if any jewelry happens to go off here this afternoon.
I see.
I hope you do.
How did you know I'd be here?
Well, I didn't. But Miss Perot had a feeling somebody may try to knock off the jewels her girls are going to wear, and if anybody does, you are it. Just a friendly warning.
Excuse me, I was just on my way to the washroom. Oh, for your information, Troy, the only reason I came here was to see my fiancée. You see, she is one of Miss Perot's girls.
And monsieur, we have what I might call the first resistance of my little collection. Here is Gloria wearing an evening gown of velvet in chartreuse, very high in the front neckline so as to make it a perfect... Mon Dieu! Gloria, the necklace. What have you done with the Morton diamond necklace?
What? Why, it's gone.
I know it is gone. I can see that. But what have you done with it?
I haven't done anything with it, Miss Perot. You put it around my neck yourself. The clasp must have slipped.
You little thief, you have tried to steal it.
What? Oh, don't be ridiculous.
The most beautiful, the most valuable piece in the whole collection, you have stolen it. Peter Troy! Peter Troy, quickly, here!
What's the matter, Miss Perot? What's happened?
This little wretch has stolen the Morton diamonds. That is what is going on.
I've never heard anything so absurd in all my life. As if I'd steal the necklace and then come out here without
just
it.
Just a minute. Relax. You were wearing the necklace earlier.
Yes. Miss Peru put it on for me.
Uh-huh. You're Gloria?
Yes, Gloria Gay.
I see. Well, suppose we... Hey, wait a minute. Excuse me a moment. Oh. Hold hard there, Johnny boy. Where do you think you're going?
What? What's the devil has got to do with you?
Has a lot to do with me when some jewelry's missing and you start heading for the nearest exit, pal.
You there, close those doors. Nobody leave till I say so.
Yeah, you have no right
to... Knock it off, Buster.
Now, you and I don't need to go through all that mumbo-jumbo about rights. You're not leaving here, and neither is anybody else.
Troy, I swear to you, I don't know anything about any jewelry being missing. I know I've got a record.
You sure do. And quit getting in a sweat. If you didn't swipe that necklace, then you've got nothing to fear.
Now, you're joking. The man has a record. He's a goner before they even start asking the questions.
Speaking of questions, you said one of the models is your fiancé. I suppose it wouldn't happen to be Gloria Gay, would it?
Yes, it would.
Uh-huh. That's what I figured.
Well, go on. Why don't you say it? Gloria was wearing a necklace that's disappeared, and she's my girl. So that means I took the necklace.
Just a minute. Who knows she's your girl? The other models?
Of course. They all know. Everybody knows.
It doesn't look good, Johnny boy. It doesn't look at all good for you. With the doors of the salon locked, I phoned police headquarters, and in no time flat, my old chum, Inspector Caswell, was on the scene doing his best to make like a detective. To get out of the place, guests had to submit to the search, which they mostly did, although not without a good deal of snarling about writing to their members of parliament and so forth. Then the salon began to look pretty empty, but so far the police had turned up nothing. However, there were still the models and Johnny Swift, whom the inspector seemed to be saving for dessert.
What do you think, Pete?
I don't know, Julie. But if a guy had money to bet, he'd be a fool not to put it on Johnny Swift.
You think he really took the necklace?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Well, then his girlfriend, Gloria, she must have been in on it, too.
Could be. There's only one thing I can't figure yet.
Oh, what's that?
What's he done with the loot? He wasn't idiot enough to have it on him.
You mean he's hidden it somewhere in the cell?
Yeah, but where? Well, you need to be able to do it quickly and neatly. So many people around all the time. Except maybe...
Maybe what?
I'll tell you in a minute. Excuse me, honey, I want to check something.
Oh, I'm coming too. With all these models around, you're not going anywhere without me.
Now, Julie, be reasonable.
I am being reasonable. Where are we going?
I am going this way, and you'd better not try to follow.
Oh, I'll follow, all right. Anywhere you go around here, I go.
You want to bet? I'm going in here, Julie.
What? The washroom.
Just as well you didn't bet, honey. See you. Now, let's see. Yeah, that's right, Inspector. Have one of your men get some tools and take the plugs out of all the U-bends and the drains in the men's washroom. Because that's where you'll find the necklace.
Troy, are you serious?
But of course I'm serious. Oh, you don't think I'd try to play games with you, do you?
Yes.
Inspector, I crossed my heart. I ran water into the drains. One of them ran very sluggish.
Is that so? Which one?
The third basin from the left. Was it the third from the right?
Oh, come now, Troy.
Oh, Inspector, I've forgotten.
Now, will you listen here?
I have. Honest engine, I've forgotten. You better take out all the plugs. Oh, now, don't look so cross, Inspector. It'll keep your boys busy. They love to have something to do. And I've just solved your case for you.
You haven't solved anything. Or even if we do find the necklace down one of those drains, who put it there?
Johnny Swift.
Well, we all know he's first on the list. But you'll have to do better than that.
Inspector, while I was standing here earlier today, I noticed him in the crowd. So I went over and blew down his ear.
Yes?
I gave him the usual heavy-handed warning bit, you know. And he didn't like the way things were going.
Well, get on with it.
So what did he do? He excused himself and went straight to the washroom.
After standing within a couple of feet of you, that's understandable.
Oh, Inspector, I've asked you not to do that.
What?
Make like a comic. It doesn't suit your stolid British background.
If you'd said it, you'd have thought yourself very smart.
But, Inspector, I am smart.
Never mind. You say Swift had this necklace in his pocket when you spoke to him and went and dropped it down the drain.
Yeah, along with his nerve.
I see. Well, we'll find out just how smart you really are, Troy. Sergeant, I have a job for you.
Miss Summers, what are we going to do? Everybody thinks Johnny took the necklace, but he didn't. I know he didn't.
I know how you feel, Gloria, but I'm afraid the police don't think very much of woman's intuition. They're only men, you know.
The whole thing's too silly. I had the necklace on, round my neck. And when I came out on the floor, I could have sworn it was still there.
Well, it couldn't have dropped off. Somebody would have seen it by now.
Miss Perrault put it on with her own hands. We looked at it in the dressing room mirror. It looked really beautiful, too.
Yes, I suppose it did. That was a lovely gown you were modeling.
I've been trying to think just exactly what I did after that.
Oh, that's a good idea. You saw the necklace in the mirror, and then when you reached the floor, it wasn't there.
Yes, that's right.
Well, did you speak to Johnny at all when you came out of the dressing room?
Yes, I did, but...
Well, was he close to you?
No, he was a couple of yards away. He just blew me a kiss for luck, and I smiled, and that was all.
Wait a minute. Pete told me that Johnny told the police you didn't have the necklace on when you came out of the dressing room.
Yes, but they won't take any notice of him. They think he's just trying to make his own story good. Obviously, if he could convince them I wasn't wearing it when I left the dressing room, then he couldn't have taken it. He couldn't go into the dressing room.
Oh, that's right. Tell me, what did you do after you and Miss Perrault admired the necklace in the mirror?
Nothing. I couldn't sit down, of course, or smoke or do anything. That's the trouble with modeling. Once you have a gown like that on, you have to act as though you're a statue.
So you just stood in front of the mirror?
No. I moved away to let the other girls use it. Then Miss Perrault fixed the clasp.
Fixed the clasp?
Yes, it was coming undone. So she made sure it was all right.
I see.
What do you see?
Oh, nothing really. But I think right now we should have a word with Peter Troy.
Troy, if the police are poking around in the washroom drains, I suppose there's not much point in my trying to bluff it out.
You did put the necklace down the drain, huh?
No.
What?
That is not the real necklace. It was a paste copy I had made.
A copy?
I did come here to steal the Morton diamonds, that's true. But I didn't go through with it. I'd already decided not to when you first spoke to me. That really finished it. I put the necklace down the drain to get rid of it. The paste copy, that is.
You're telling me that you got rid of the copy so you wouldn't be tempted to make a switch with the real one later.
That's right. I swear it's the truth.
Well, there you are, Troy.
Oh, how'd you make out, Inspector?
Very well. You know, you were quite right, Troy. The necklace was in that drain.
Well, Inspector, I'm afraid I goofed.
No, you didn't. I just told you. The necklace
was... That's a fake. It's not the real necklace.
Nonsense. Of course it's the real thing. Sergeant Doby over there is something of an expert. He had a good look at our find, and he says it's genuine.
What?
But that's impossible.
Is it? Oh, we'll see. I want a further chat with you, young man, after I've returned the necklace to Miss Perrault.
I'll come with you, Inspector, if you don't mind.
No, Pete, I want to talk to you.
Not now, Julie.
Yes, no. Pete, this could be very important.
Okay, but make it fast, will you? I'll join you in a minute, Inspector.
Well, there you are, Miss Perrault. You have the necklace back, at least.
But it is incredible. I do not understand how you could be so clever.
Oh, English policemen are not all that dumb, Miss Perot. They just look that way.
Now, listen, Troy, if you're going to be...
I've just been speaking to your sergeant, the one who did the plumbing in the washroom.
Oh?
I'm very glad I couldn't remember which basin I thought the necklace was in.
Why?
Because your hard-working sergeant decided to start at one end and work along. Very methodical.
What about it? He found the necklace.
Oh, he found it all right. But I didn't know it was there.
What? But you told...
He found that necklace, the real necklace, in a waste pipe that comes through the wall from the ladies' washroom.
Oh, I think I am going to faint. Oh, please, I must get some air.
You sure you wouldn't like to wash your hands, Miss Perot?
What? I do not understand that.
Nor do I. What is all this, Troy?
Inspector, if you have your man take the plugs out of the rest of the waste pipes, he'll find another necklace. The paste one I thought you'd found.
Oh, now, Troy, I don't wish to appear stupid.
Well, you're doing okay, Inspector.
What?
By a strange coincidence, two people put necklaces in the drains. One person was Johnny Swift. He had a fake job, which he dropped down the basin in the washroom. The other person, in the ladies' washroom, put the real necklace down the drain, which leads through into the men's room. Oh, are you leaving us, Miss Perot?
I was just going out for some air.
You'll stay, please, madam. Right here.
But, Inspector, I have the necklace back.
Oh, yes, but now you won't collect the insurance on it, will you? Or, more correctly, the owner won't collect the insurance while you keep the necklace.
What is this? Are you saying that I...
That you slipped the necklace from Gloria's neck when you pretended to fix the clasp? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And she didn't notice because of the high neck of the gown. But she did notice that you went immediately from the dressing room to the washroom, Miss Perot. You hoped, of course, that I'd pin the theft on Johnny Swift.
Lies. All lies. It is absurd. You can prove nothing.
Perhaps not, but we'll have a dash good try. I think you and I better go down to headquarters and have a nice long chat, Miss Perot.
I will not go. This is too silly.
Thanks, Troy. We'll take it from here. Come along, madam. This way, if you
take
please.
Your hand away. You cannot do this to me. Anyway, I did not intend to steal the necklace.
Nice
it was
work,
a little
Pete.
Joke.
How does it feel to be a master sleuth?
Oh, it's not so good when you have to let the inspector put the arm on a lovely creature like that. It's no use, Julie. That lovely French doll does things to me.
Oh, so will this magazine article.
What?
See? Here.
Mm-hmm.
The secret of Suzanne Perrault's eternal beauty, it says. She is beautiful, svelte, and charming. Her skin is that of a young girl.
I'll say.
Nobody in a million years would take her for a day over 25. Yet her actual age is not less than 52.
Well, that's what... What? I don't believe it.
Why not? If Marlene Dietrich can look as young as she does, so can Suzanne Perrault. When it comes to guessing a woman's age, you should walk softly, Peter Troy.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.